Right, so we're doing this series about the parables of Jesus. It's called Little Story, Big Idea. And if you remember, the point that Jesus told parables wasn't that so that we would pick apart every little point, but that we would get the big idea from it in a way that was both memorable and challenging. And that's what Jesus was hoping to produce in the lives of his hearers. And actually, today, that you need to keep that in mind more than anything else, because this is the parable that we're going to talk about today, which is sometimes called the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids, actually is one of the ones that we love to pick apart and debate all the little details. So the point that we're looking at is the big point, okay? Because that's what will make a difference to us. So I want to start today with a question, and it's not a deep theological question, it's a real life question. So here's the question. Have you ever been unprepared for something important? Okay, well, Roger's honest. Honest Roger. Maybe it's an exam, or you've done exams when you thought that they would be easy, but the closer it got, you realised you were like studying the wrong chapters and looking at the wrong stuff and you weren't prepared at all. I still have this nightmare, and I have it about twice a year. I don't know, I think it's kind of a common one where I'm about to, in this case, do my A-level maths, and I haven't been going to the lessons, and I am totally unprepared, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to do this again. And I don't know if that's that you ever have that one where you're going to have an exam at school and you haven't done the work. Anybody have that nightmare? Yeah? For me, it's always maths. Is it maths for anybody else? I don't know. But it's for me, it's English. Okay. Well, okay. But English should be something you're good at as your English. Yeah. Anyway, so maybe if you put it into business, you realise as this meeting comes up, it was a lot more important than you thought, and your pack of slides and PowerPoint on your laptop isn't going to cut it. And we can often find ourselves meeting these situations in life, can't we, where we're not prepared. We thought we were prepared, but we're not prepared. And Jesus tells a story about what it's like to feel like that, about being caught unprepared. But it's not about a meeting or an exam, it's actually about an impending wedding. More deeply, it's actually about the kingdom of God and about the moment when opportunity runs out because preparation really mattered. Okay? Now, if you don't want to be challenged this morning, you need to leave now. Because this is just a really challenging thing that Jesus says. He tells this really challenging story. So let me put it in context for you before we get to it, because context is everything. Because if you don't know the context, you tend to end up with the wrong conclusions about what's been said or what a particular verse means. So we're coming towards the end of Jesus' time on earth. And he's had the disciples all together in the temple. And as they're leaving the temple in Jerusalem, one of the disciples, because this is what you do when you're around Jesus, he starts admiring the architecture. And he starts pointing out to the disciples, oh, look at that stone, look at that carving, look how beautiful this is. Look at how that incense, but oh, isn't it beautiful? And he's saying about how amazing this temple building is. And Jesus decides he's going to use this, like, kind of flippant moment as a moment when he's going to teach them. And his opening line is basically, this temple is coming down. This temple, its usefulness has ended. And there's going to be a new way coming in of relating to God that does not involve this. And you know that way, that, you know, guys, that old way where the high priest can go in once a year. Under that old covenant they had this guy called the high priest, and once a year he was the only person that could go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. So he was the only one that had access directly to God. And so he had to go through loads of rituals and things that he had to do and all that sort of stuff. And if he got it wrong, because the presence of God was so overwhelming, if he went in behind that curtain into the Holy of Holies and he got it wrong, he's not coming out again alive. So they used to tie a rope to his ankle in order to pull him out in case it had all gone wrong. And Jesus said, remember all that sort of stuff? It's ending. It's done with. And they kind of don't understand what Jesus is saying, because they're looking around and going, man, this is a big temple. It's stones. What do you mean it's coming down? There's no way this thing's going to fall over. And Jesus' point that he's trying to get across to him is that what God is desiring and what God wants for us is relationship. He doesn't want ritual. He doesn't want going through the forms. He wants relationship. And relationship isn't based on rules. Relationship is based on something else called love. And he's also trying to point out, and he gets onto this, that relationship, this relationship with God that we have, this side of the cross, is about individual responsibility. So my relationship from God, other than what God does through me that I can kind of give away like I am right now, is not yours. You are responsible for your own relationship with God. And so Jesus is trying to tell them that when this thing comes down, when that high priest thing is gone, it's individual responsibility, guys. You can't put it all off on the high priest to get it right, and all you do is kill your cows. It doesn't work like that anymore. And from there, he takes it a step further, and he starts to talk about what life's going to be like when he comes back, the signs of his return. Because he's only just told them he's going, but he's going to tell them what it's going to be like when he comes back. And he talks a lot about how at that time there's going to be lots of people claiming, I know Jesus, who don't really know him at all. Who say that they have this incredible relationship, or they are doing all this for God, and actually they don't know Jesus at all. And Jesus says, that's a sign. When that's happening in my church, that's a sign I'm coming back. And then he says, what's going to happen is there'll be people all over who you might think are for me or representing me, but in actually they're deceiving you. And he says that the state of the world is such that the church morphs towards the world, and the love of those in the church grows cold. It's not disappeared, it's gone cold. It's not active. And because the church is like that, persecution follows. Now, we live in a country where there isn't, but actually there's more persecution now of Christians than there ever, ever has been. And Jesus says this, the one who gets through all this and stays standing and stands strong, whose faith stays in me, will be blessed. And he says, how will you be able to tell this? And he says, one of the big ways you'll be able to tell this is when you look at what's going on around you, you will see believers who've become complacent and everyone around them behaving and doing what they want. That there'll be a society or a culture right across the world where people decide their own morals and their own standards and their own ways, and the church will be complacent because it's lost its burning love for me. And he describes it, it'll be like when just before the earth was flooded, when Noah was around. What he's saying there is, the hallmarks of life, the hallmarks of the culture we live in, which infects the church to some extent, will be self-focused, self-first, entertaining themselves and living for their appetites. And he says, when you see all that going on around you, you can be pretty sure I'm coming back soon. So there's this question. So if that's true, Jesus, then what do you expect of me? What am I supposed to do with all this information you're giving me? And he says something really simple, and then he tells this parable that I'm going to tell you about. But what he says is, you have to be ready for me coming. And they say, well, how will we know it? And he says, the way you deal with that is you should be ready all the time, because you don't know when I'm coming. You should be ready all the time. Being ready all the time for Jesus' return is an antidote to complacency. And so we should be ready. So then he tells them this parable so they remember what he said. And so I'll just read you the parable. It's one of those that I've just heard so many talks about and so many sermons on that it actually took me a long time to unravel it for myself and get something really clear, because there's so many things that people say about this. But when you actually read it, it's pretty straightforward. Here we go. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So you've got two sets of people here. You've got wise people and you've got foolish people. Look at the person next to you and say, you don't want to be a fool. Now look at them again and tell them they are not a fool. Right, you don't want to be a foolish. You want to be a wise person. Turn them around and say, you're wise. Even if you don't feel wise, you have the wisdom of God living inside you because you have access to the Holy Spirit. So you can get what wisdom you need. And so he's saying, plug into the wisdom of God. Right, so at midnight, they're roused by a shout. Look, the bridegroom's come in. Let's go out and meet him. And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Now, everything is the same for all these bridesmaids. They all have lamps. They all have a relationship with what's going on at this wedding that's coming. They have actually all slept. The only difference is what's going on with these lamps, with the fire that's coming from these lamps. And so when they light them, the 5 foolish ones have to ask the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Let me give you a precursor to where I'm going. You cannot be a spectator Christian. Sitting in a chair on a Sunday morning, you're going to have a problem if that's all it is. And we can't build spectator Christianity. Okay, so that's where we're going. So please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. And so then he says, but the others replies, we haven't got enough oil for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they're gone out to buy some, the bridegroom pitches up. Then those who were ready with their lamps go in to the big celebration, the marriage feast, and they lock the door. Not frozen like our door was this morning, but locked. It just same thing, more open. And later, when the other 5 bridesmaids return, they stand outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. They think their relationship was Lord, Lord. Jesus turns around and says, I haven't a clue who you are. I don't know you. So this is what Jesus says. So you too, you faith lifers, must keep watch, for you don't know the day or hour I'm coming back. So he's told them all the signs, all loads of things that they will see and what the world will be like when he's coming back, but we don't know exactly when. So you've got 10 young women waiting for a wedding. They've all got lamps. They're all excited. They all expect the groom to show up soon. Here's the thing. Everybody, they all look the same on the outside. They're all part of the same group. They all look the same. But the night drags on. He's late. They fall asleep. And here's the thing. It really is easy to follow Jesus for a while. But it's essential that we follow Jesus all the time, for all time. Whether that's tough times, easy times, busy times, kids growing up times, career climbing times, whatever the times, we follow Jesus. And then you get this shout, the bridegroom's coming, five of them jump up, trim the lamps, light the way, and the other five, they panic. And so they run out to the shop to buy some more. And by the time they come back, the door's shut. The party that I talked about last week has started without them, and they can't get in. Now, here's the big idea. Just enough Christianity is not enough. Just enough Christianity is not enough. Just approaching our faith by doing the minimum to keep us a little bit connected with a bunch of other people that we go to church with and we relate to and we're friends with isn't enough. Sitting in church on a Sunday morning as a spectator isn't enough. Just enough Christianity is not enough. They all had just enough to get them to when the bridegroom was coming back. In other words, they were still around. You can't borrow preparation. But more importantly, you can't fake relationship. So the purpose of this parable is that enough, Jesus is saying, if you want to do enough, it's extra. It's the extra. You don't need enough. You need extra. You need more than enough to get you through. Because if you try and pitch it, I just need enough to get me there, you'll get it wrong. So you've got to go for the full hog. Like you've got to have your barrel of oil ready just in case it goes long. You've got to have all this stuff ready to light your way in case it gets so dark in your life and through the problems and the issues you've got to get you through. Because if you settle for just enough, it won't be enough when those times come in your life. So here's the kind of points, main thing. Everyone looked ready until Jesus came, until the moment came. Everybody looks the same from the outside. Everybody's saying the same things. And if you were trying to assess it, no one would have guessed who was wise and who was foolish. So here's the thing I found out from all these years in pastoring, and I'm not picking on anybody, okay? But people, I know that over the last 40 years of my walk with Jesus, I've met a load of people that everybody else thought was really spiritual. And they weren't. And I've met a whole load of people that people kind of dismissed as not very spiritual and not very important, and they were really faithful. And they made it through. Appearing spiritual on the outside is not the same as relationship with Jesus on the inside. Somehow we can have a disjoin because we know the things to say, we know the things to do, and yet we're not doing the things that Jesus asked us to do, and we're not following through on the things we know we must do. Here's the thing. The delay in this story didn't create the difference. The delay revealed the difference. The waiting reveals the difference. Second thing, if you're wise, tell that person next to you again, they've got to be wise, so listen to this. The difference isn't in momentary desire. Anybody can get excited by a good worship song occasionally, or something happening in church that happened 1 week. Anybody can get excited about that and go, oh, I'm really hungry for more of God, etc., etc. But the difference isn't in desire. The difference is in consistent preparation. The world is littered with good intentions that never happen. It's consistent preparation that is important. You see, the wise virgins or the wise bridesmaids were prepared for however long it took and whatever they needed to go through to get there. The others thought, it'll be all fine on the day. I'm just busy now. I'll sort it out when I'm ready. They weren't prepared for the wait. The wise ones were prepared for the wait. And here's the truth. Faith isn't proved in the excitement of the moment. It's proved in the endurance of the wait. Anybody can get excited for a few weeks or a few months. But faith works in the wait. You see, the longer you're in ministry and the longer you're around other ministers, you see patterns in believers, and you see a lot of people start really strong. They're kind of all in, really going for it. But over time, the kind of delay, the disappointment, the distractions, the things that they thought would happen that didn't happen, because which were never God's will in the first place, but they thought they should be. And it waters down their faith. And their oil runs low. Faith is not proved in the beginning. It's proved in the finishing strong. You know, that's why we have to be people of the word. That's why we can't afford not to teach the stuff that people need to know. And Jesus points this, don't lose your readiness just because it's gone long. The wait's gone long. Because the wait doesn't mean he's not coming. It means he's giving you time to get ready. Here's the third thing. When the moment comes, it's too late to prepare. This parable, sometimes it kind of gets taught like as fear. It's not. This isn't about fear. This is about urgency. And these foolish bridesmaids, they run off after the announcement to get the oil. So they sincerely wanted to be there. They sincerely wanted to be at the wedding feast. But sincerity isn't a substitute for consistent preparation. You can be sincere about things and sincerely wrong. You can be sincere about things and do nothing about it. You can be sincere about things and not know what to do because you've been let down and not taught what to do. Not taught how to prepare. And Jesus isn't trying to scare people with this story. He's trying to get us to wake up. Because there's going to come a moment in life, in this life, when the window to prepare closes And we're going to be caught off guard by stuff that happens in our life. You know, I said this a few weeks ago, but it really came home to me, kind of being around like this healing conference, is if we didn't teach or hadn't taught what we've taught over the years, there would be people who are here who would have been dead by now. There would be cancers that took people out instead of disappearing. There would be babies who were never born. That's why it matters. And you can't fake that. And you can't drift your way through that. You've got to put the preparation in. Because you can't borrow somebody else's faith for your life. You see, you can listen to me all you like and go, oh, Mark, he talks about faith. And when he prayed and he saw this miracle, oh, it's marvelous. Yeah, but what about that same Holy Spirit, that same power, that same resurrection life working in you? I'm not special. There is no person, nobody in this room who is special. There is nobody in the entire body of Christ, no matter how big their church or their ministry or their TV program, who is special. Because we all have the same spirit within us. The same spirit of Jesus is within us. In Romans, I'm going off script here, but in Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 9, Paul says that if you haven't got the spirit of Christ in you, you're not actually a Christian. So therefore, we all have the spirit of Christ in us. And further down, I think it's about verse 11 or 12, that sort of thing. He then says that spirit is the same spirit that exerted resurrection power to raise Jesus from the dead. And in the same way, that spirit will work through you. Every single person who's given their life to Christ has that spirit within them. So there are no special people. There are only more than enough and just enough people. People who consistently take what is in them and use it and live it out and stand on it and keep preparing themselves in the word and in prayer. And then there's the others. And the question that Jesus is asking is, what's your lamp look like? What's your own personal lamp looking like? And, you know, I was sat on the train yesterday and I'm thinking like, what my lamp look like? I'm going to say this tomorrow morning. And I was going through this and I'm going like, I need a lamp assessment. I need to just make sure the light bulb's going to work because I've got a newfangled one with buttons and electric, you know, and mine's an electric light. No. You need to make sure what your own lamp's like. What's your oil level like? Here's a different way of putting it. Are you running on fumes at the moment? Because if you're running on fumes, then you need to get some more oil in your lamp. You need some more preparation. You need to cultivate a faith that's deep, that endures delay, endures doubts and worries, endures disappointment. Because just enough Christianity isn't enough. We've got to get this. Just enough Christianity isn't enough. And Jesus says it's that belief that just enough Christianity is enough that means that the church at the end loses its love and becomes complacent. It's not doing Christianity. It just thinks just enough Christianity is enough. And it's not. Living with an attitude of more than enough, preparing ourselves to have more than enough so we can give it away and we can help others and be there for others. That's what it's about. Fully committed, fully invested, fully lived out, fully committed, fully invested, fully lived out. Fully committed, fully invested, fully lived out. This isn't about church. This is about following Jesus. And the problem is, none of that is glamorous. None of it's cool. I've got to tell you, if you're going to do what Jesus is asking here, you are not hanging out with the cool kids. It's not cool. It's hard work. It's time. It's commitment. It's time in God's word when nobody's looking, when nobody's there. It's prayer when it feels like nothing's happening. It's obedience, doing what God's asked you to do, even when it's inconvenient, even when it doesn't fit your plans, and even when it doesn't fit your career profile. It's inviting others and sharing with others about your relationship with Jesus. It's being there every week, whether you feel like it or not, to meet with others, to be there for others, in the same way as they're showing up to be there for you. It's listening to the voice of the Spirit and doing what he asks. And to top it all off, it's loving one another like Jesus loved us. That's the new covenant. That was never possible with that old temple and all those rules. This is the new covenant of following Jesus. And that oil, that's preparation. That's getting yourself ready. That's making sure that when the moment comes, whether it's opportunity or it's adversity, or even if it's eternity, you are not going to be the one who's too late to start filling your lamp. Because just enough Christianity is never enough. And the story ends, it doesn't end with the door shutting, it ends with a really sad statement, doesn't it? Of Jesus or the groom saying, I don't know you. That's not rejection, that's reality. They were strangers. Not because they kind of didn't know each other's names, or not for lack of intention, and not because Jesus didn't love them, but because they never invested in the preparation needed for a real relationship. Now, let me do an illustration, and I'm going to finish with this illustration. Who should I pick on? I'll pick on Cheryl, because she's looking really vague at the moment and obviously doesn't understand my points. Right, so I want you to imagine for the moment that Cheryl and I, so we dated for 7 years before we got married, so it's pretty close to this. And I went off to university and then went to training as an accountant in this big city called Manchester, which was quite big when you come from the Lake District. Okay, so Cheryl is back in Kendal, okay? Now, imagine, so I've gone, this is me going, I've gone, and I'm away, okay? Now, Cheryl sits telling me, we didn't have mobile phones, but just suspend the illustration for the moment. Cheryl keeps texting me, I'm coming to see you this weekend, I'll be there. But then something comes up, and she's busy, and she's got her works due on, and she's got something that she needs to prepare for. But she's coming to see me. And I text back loads and loads. You know, have we all got that friend where we say, like, loads and loads of things to them, and their reply is, fine. Have we all got that friend? It's like that. I'm pouring my heart out, and Cheryl says, yeah, I'm good. And I say, I'm coming back soon. I'll be there soon. And Cheryl, she goes off over there and she's really busy chatting to Annette. And she talks to Annette, and she talks to Annette all the time. But while she's talking to Annette, she's forgot. And I'm not getting any texts anymore. And one day I get in my car and I come back from Manchester and I think, I never really knew this girl. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I didn't know you. You didn't get it. I wanted relationship. And you did just enough for church. You were just a spectator and you were just busy with life. And I never knew you. So let's summarize. And we'll finish with this. Okay? We're not going to go back into worship because I'm just going to pray. You can't borrow preparation. Just enough Christianity isn't enough. It won't get you through and it won't get you ready. Faith that lasts tomorrow is built on your choices that you make today. Faith that will last tomorrow is built on the choices you make today. Faith that lasts tomorrow is built on the choices you make when you're sat on your sofa at home chatting to each other. Faith that lasts tomorrow is built on the choices you make when you're in your workplace or when you're studying. Faith that lasts tomorrow is built on the choices you make when nobody can see them except you. Faith that lasts tomorrow is wisdom. And wisdom makes the right choices. Amen.